Heavenly Father, thanks for reminding us through song that this world is not what we're living for. We know that all who are in Christ will rise again, and we look forward to eternity with you forever and ever. Lord, forgive us for clinging so tightly to the stuff around us in this world. Lord, help us to see people as you do. Help us to see things as you do. Lord, give us your perspective. Help us to live today in light of eternity. Lord, I pray that you would be working in each of our hearts, helping us to take another step closer to you. And we trust you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the gospel is a message, and a message requires words to declare that Jesus Christ died for our sins and he has risen again and he offers forgiveness to everyone. The gospel is a message. But you know, that message is heard a lot better when it's preceded by acts of service and acts of kindness. Think about the example of Jesus. You read through the gospels, he didn't just talk and he didn't just serve. He taught and he touched. He taught and he touched. And that's a great example for us. We need to be ready to share the gospel in a moment's notice, but we need to have hearts overflowing with love for those around us that we want to serve them and show the love of Jesus. And as we do that, the message comes on more receptive ears. This morning, we have the privilege of, we're going to be hearing from Herb Reese. Herb is the president of New Commandment Men's Ministries. And New Commandment Men's Ministries, we have a, do we call it a chapter here or whatever we have it? You know, Jeff will tell us, what, are we a chapter? But we have a group of men who are involved in serving others in our church family. And God has been using this ministry greatly. But I think it's important for us to hear about how we can serve to get the gospel out there. And this morning, we want to explore how can we, as a congregation, reach the community around us, and how might serving play a role in that? So, Herb, would you come on up? It's just great to have you with us this morning. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Mark. Okay. Great. It is a great honor to be here. New Commandment Men's Ministries helps churches recruit, train, organize, and deploy teams of men who permanently adopt widows and single moms, single dads in their churches. And it's wonderful to see this church doing exactly that. I was able to meet last night for dinner with several of the caregivers, care receivers, and what a blessing it was to see the testimony of these people. Bring you greetings from Denver, Colorado, where I think it's warmer there than it is here. I hear you had a few inches of snow last Thursday, and it shut down the entire city. I guess kids were sledding on Capitol Hill. It's nice to see something getting done on Capitol Hill. It was a snow day, I guess. They had the day off. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't get a single snow day. I never got a single snow day. I had to walk to school in the dead of winter, no matter what kind of weather it was. It was tough growing up in Southern California. I grew up in Southern California. I went to a wonderful church. The pastor was J. Vernon McGee. Has anybody ever heard of J. Vernon McGee? And he was my pastor. He and my dad were best friends. And I came to the Lord through him when I was 10 years old. And I was an interesting kid because I developed a passion for evangelism at a very young age. When I was in junior high, I had a paper route. And at Christmas time, I would take Christmas-themed tracts and put them into my newspapers and toss them onto my customers' porches. And in high school, God enabled me to lead 13 of my contemporaries to Christ at one time when I was in high school. I would put my, this is during the Jesus Freak days. I would put my Bible on top of my books and carry my Bible around in high school, and made my physics teacher furious. And I loved that. When I was in college, I went to UCLA, and I witnessed to most of my professors and other students. I remember one professor of ancient history asked the question, why is it that Israel was surrounded by polytheistic countries, and yet it was monotheistic? Why was that? And I raised my hand. I said, well, maybe it's because there's only one God, you know, that type of thing. So I was that kind of a guy. In fact, Muhammad Ali came to UCLA to speak and he spoke to 4,000 kids. And it was just after he had lost his title to Frazier. And after he finished speaking, there was a question and answer time. And so I raised my hand, and he pointed at me, and I stood up, and I tried to witness to Muhammad Ali. I wouldn't recommend doing that. And then after I graduated, God gave me opportunities to witness in Mexico and Canada and Haiti. Did beach witnessing. I preached in downtown. Did street preaching in downtown Los Angeles. And I think I've gone to about 20,000 homes to witness. But after all of that, I think I can say one thing. That is, sometimes it is possible to witness too much. Did you know that? Sometimes it is possible to witness too much. In fact, the Word of God specifically states this in 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 1, Peter writes, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives." Isn't that fascinating? Peter is basically saying, wives, shut up. Shut up and just live out your faith in front of your non-believing husband. What's interesting is when you think about the frequency of commands in the New Testament to witness, there really are not that many commands in the New Testament. Do you know how many there are? Three. There are three commands to witness in the New Testament. And they're all actually given to leadership in the church. How many commands are there, on the other hand, to love? Does anybody know? There are 40. There are 40 commands to love in the New Testament. In other words, what we see in the New Testament is the writers of the New Testament expecting believers to live out their faith, and in the process, people coming to Christ as they see believers loving the way they're supposed to be loving. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17. My prayer is that the love that you have for me may be in them, that the world may know that you have seen me. And the Word of God is very clear over and over and over again that when we love like Jesus Christ, that the world goes, now there's a Christian. Somebody shared last night that her father is constantly calling her and saying, are those nice men coming over and helping you out? And that's what we want to express in our faith, is a walk that expresses the love of Christ, this unique love that non-Christians immediately identify as Christian love. And so the question is, what does this look like? What is it like? Well, I've married many people, and suppose I found out that, as I go back and check on these couples, that none of them had any children. That would be extremely odd. Now, when I did the marriages, when I did those weddings, I didn't get up there and say, now, get out there and propagate, right? Not a single time. Not a single time did I say, we expect you to have a lot of kids, right? It's just assumed that as a result of their natural love for each other, that they would reproduce themselves. And it would be extremely odd if I went back to those couples and discovered that none of them had any children. And suppose I did, and let's say I got all these couples together, and they said, well, Herb, I don't know why we don't have any children. We really appreciated the service that you did for us. That wedding service was phenomenal. And so we decided that every week we would come back to the church and we would celebrate that service. And we would talk about marriage. And we would sing about marriage. And we would worship marriage. But for some reason, we haven't had any children. So we decided that we would hold classes on how to have children. Right? And I would go, what? That's not marriage. Marriage isn't talking about marriage. Marriage isn't singing about marriage. Marriage is not worshiping marriage. Marriage is loving each other, living together and loving each other, and in the natural process, producing children. Really? You want us to actually live together and love each other? Yes, that's marriage. That's what the New Testament is talking about when it's talking about the love of Christ. When it's talking about the love of Christ, it's saying that the love of Christ is so profound and so unique and so radical that when we love each other the way Christ has loved us, it naturally produces fruit. It naturally draws people to Christ. And that's what we see in this ministry. After all of my effort, all of my work in doing evangelism, God led me to start New Commandment Men's Ministries. And we never talk about evangelism. And yet I have never seen more people come to Christ as a result of a ministry, as a result of anything that I've done, besides men getting out there and serving widows and single parents, serving people in need, and proving and demonstrating the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to consider how God is calling you to express the love of Christ as an opportunity to demonstrate your love for Christ. Let me give you an illustration. On my block, there is a woman who went through a terrible, terrible situation with her husband. Her husband had a blood clot in his leg, and he went to the hospital. They gave him medication to break up the blood clot, and it did break up the blood clot. And so some of the smaller blood clots went to his brain, and he suffered a stroke, a serious stroke, and he was paralyzed. And so for months and months, he had to go through therapy. He finally was able to get home, but he still had to do the therapy, and they would send an ambulance to pick him up twice a week to take him overnight to do his therapy. And so the whole block is watching this whole process develop. And then finally, after about a year and a half of this terrible, terrible trial happening to this woman, he died. And as a result of this, she became extremely bitter. And she became a hermit, an introvert. And the neighbors felt sorry for her. And so one of her neighbors started mowing her lawn. And so I just was kind of watching this. I lived about five doors down. And I started praying about what I could do, how I could minister to her. And I didn't know her. I'd never met her. And so all year long, this neighbor mowed her lawn. And then winter happened, and then this past year, I noticed in the spring that her lawn was growing and growing and growing, and nobody was mowing it. And so finally, I stopped this neighbor up the street, and I said, so I noticed this widow's lawn is not being mowed. And he says, oh, there's no way I'm going to mow her lawn. She is the most thankless person I have ever met. She's bitter. She got mad at the other neighbor on the other side and reamed her out and started shouting at her. And she hardly ever comes out. I'm not mowing her lawn. I says, why don't we just try again, and I'll help you. We'll alternate, you know. And he said, well, okay, you know. So we did. This last year, he would mow 1 week, and then I would mow the next week. And I'm five doors down, so it's kind of weird because I would walk my lawnmower down, you know, five doors, and everybody's looking at this. And I'm praying about the Lord, how can I minister to this widow? And the Lord gave me this idea of taking a pot of flowers and putting it on her porch. And, you know, all the neighbors are watching this whole process. And of course, the next question is, you idiot, you're going to have to water that all spring and summer. And I knew that. And I walk my dog every day, and I walk my dog past this house, and I'm praying for this widow. And I decided that what I would do is when I walk my dog, I would take a pail of water, and I would water the flowers. And I decided that I would pray for this widow and pray for the block. And that's what I did all spring and all summer and into the fall. Every single day, I would walk my dog, Dixie, down the street with my pail and water her flowers. And as I'm watering her flowers, pray for her. And let me tell you, the whole block has opened up to the gospel. All the neighbors know what I've been doing. And they've been watching this. And they've been watching my faithfulness in serving her and ministering to her. And then, of course, fall happened, and now winter, and so it's been snowing in Denver, and her garage is full of junk, so she parks her van out on the driveway, so I walk down, and the neighbors are still angry at her and bitter toward her, so they don't shovel her sidewalk for her. So they'll shovel my sidewalk when I'm not around, like, you know, today, but they won't shovel hers. The whole block will be shoveled except for this widow's sidewalk and her. So I'll walk down with my shovel and shovel her sidewalk and brush off the snow. I've been doing this for 10 months, and I still have not met this widow. She only comes out just to get into her van, go to the store about once a week, and I haven't met her. But God has used that to open up the entire street for the gospel. I've had more opportunities to witness than ever before on that street. And that's what the Word of God is talking about. Non-Christians need to witness, need to see the love of Christ in action. They need to see us loving other people. They need to see observable love. We can have the best fellowship inside these four walls. We can have the greatest love inside these four walls, but there's just one problem. It's not visible. And it needs to be visible. And that is the beauty of the men in your church serving your widows and single parents, is that they're getting out into the community and they are ministering in the community in a visible way. And all of the neighbors of those widows and single moms, all of their family, all of their friends, if they're working, all of their fellow workers are watching, and they're seeing this. And you are giving your widows and your single moms a bullhorn for the gospel by doing this. I want to challenge you to do two things. First of all, I'd like to ask you to think about your block. And I'd like to ask you to think about anybody in need in your block, somebody maybe who is disabled or a widow or a single mom. And I want you to start praying for them and asking God to give you an opportunity to serve them faithfully, not just do a kind gesture every now and then, but to serve them with commitment and to truly sacrifice for them in a visible way, because Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So look for the needs in your block. If there's nobody on your block, maybe expand the perimeter to maybe a couple blocks. Look around your neighborhood for somebody who is in real need and commit to serving them on a regular, faithful basis, and ask God to use that as a testimony to your neighbors. And I would suggest maybe this spring taking a pot of flowers and putting it on the porch and with a little note on it saying, "If you will let me, I will water this every day for you, and I will pray for you when I do. If you don't want me to do that, then take this pot and put it inside or put it in back. But if you leave it on the front porch, with your blessing, I will come by and I will water it for you." Now, don't do this unless you really actually water it every day. That's just one suggestion. And then another suggestion is, and this is for the men of the church, if you are not involved in the men's team ministry to your widows and single parents, I want to encourage you to get involved. This is an amazing, I wish you could have been at the dinner, if you weren't at the dinner last night, where all the men and the care receivers met and just shared. It was like the Spirit of God had descended on that dinner. It was a blessing to be there. And men, I want to encourage you, if you're not involved, there are a couple people on the waiting list, And so we need at least eight more men to form two more teams. It only involves 3 hours of time, one Saturday morning each month, so not a lot of time. But you're going to be involved in some spiritual teaching. You're going to be involved making friends with other men, and you're going to have a significant ministry to a widow or a single mom, or it could be a widower or a single dad or somebody who's disabled. And you're going to have a wonderful testimony in the community here. And so this is an opportunity for you to really develop your ministry in this church and be obedient to Christ's command to love as he has loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. I praise you, Lord, for the obedience of this church to your word, which commands us to minister, to serve one another in love. I thank you, Lord, for the men who are faithfully serving their care receivers. They've done it for over 3 years now. I pray, Lord, that for years to come, they would be faithful servants, demonstrating your love in a public way. Father, I pray for anyone here who has a neighbor in need, maybe a widow, maybe a single mom, maybe somebody who's disabled, and they are lonely and they're all alone and they need to be loved. They need somebody to show them more than just kind gestures. They need commitment. They need sacrifice. They need somebody who understands them. And Lord, I pray that you would use these people to love them the way you want us to love them. And I pray that through their love and through their sacrifice, that they would be a testimony to their neighbors and as a result, draw people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I forgot to mention that if you would like to be a part of the men's team ministry, there is a sign-up sheet on two clipboards in the back on my table. It's a New Commandment men's ministry table, black tablecloth. But this is your church's sign-up sheet for your men's ministry. And so if you'd like to do that, it's all yours. So I'm going to turn it back over to Mark. Do you want me to stay up here? Or do you want me to
sit down, then we're going to bring you back up later on. This is our interactive service, so we want to think and process some ways that we can be serving and reaching our community with the good news of Jesus Christ. One vehicle that we have to do that is our life groups. Now, you can do things as a life group, or you can just get small groups of people from Cedar Run, and we can go out and do things and serve. So I've asked Blake to come up with us right now, and many of you know Blake. He is our life groups, grand poobah, director, coordinator, whatever your title is. So, Blake, give us a little bit of an update, buddy. What's going on with life groups and how are they serving? And
well, you know, we've begun a community service program with our life groups, and we talked about it a few weeks ago. And I had this lame name for it, you know, Spring Service Project. But I think that we're going to jazz it up, call it something a little bit more interesting, maybe like Send 70.
Summer Service Project.
Summer Service Project, right? Maybe Send 70, like out of Luke 10 or something like that. This is a test for you, though.
Send 70 sounds better than Spring Service Project.
Well, you know, in Luke 10, it's 72, but 70 rolls off the tongue so much easier. Send 70, Send 72. So, but we asked the life groups to begin the planning phase, of what we hope will be each group getting out between now and the end of the spring into their neighborhoods, and finding a place to serve. We hope that will grow into a bigger commitment.
All right, so what's this going to look like with life groups?
Well, for now, it's cold out, right? We don't want to go outside. So we're in our planning phase now. So what it means now is just setting aside a few minutes at the start of each life group meeting and discussing places in your neighborhood where you can serve. Like Herb said, neighbors in your very neighborhood that may need service. Something like a food pantry or a homeless shelter in the area. But small building blocks discussing where we can serve, what that would look like, that would culminate eventually in the spring and actually getting out and serving.
Well, now some groups have already started, right?
Yeah.
What are they learning? What's some things for all of us?
Well, here's a couple of takeaways from a couple of our groups that are kind of on the cutting edge of this. And the first one is be persistent. Make a commitment to start each meeting with an update on what's going on, because it's easy to talk about this once or twice and then never talk about it again. So it'll fade away. The vision will fade unless you stay on top of it. And secondly, set small action-oriented goals. Like identify those places. Make a list. Figure out who those neighbors are. Maybe volunteer to call somebody or assign somebody to call a food pantry in your neighborhood, but small steps.
Why don't you just give people this list?
Well, you know, that's a good question. For convenience, it would be great to hand you guys a list of like 20 places where you can plug in. But practically, coming up with two or three options for a dozen groups, that will be tough. And to be truthful, I don't know your neighborhoods. And it's really making these face-to-face contacts in your own neighborhoods and relationship building that we're looking for. We're not just checking boxes. We want to build relationships.
One piece of advice. One piece of advice, Mr. Life Group Guru. What would you tell them?
All right, here's at least one piece of advice. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Some of the lessons we've learned are that, you know, not every place we reach out to will be able to take all 12 adults and all of their kids in one shot. So showing up with 24 people at a facility may not be the best thing. It may not be realistic. It'd be great if we could do that together in a large group, but sometimes it might be twos and threes and fours. It may be with kids. It may be without kids. But be flexible. And lastly, I would say that it's going to be hard. This is going to be hard to do. It's going to be tough to blast ourselves out of these four walls. But we want people to see the love that we have for each other and for the world. Expect opposition. I discussed this with the group leaders recently, and the truth is that as long as we're on our Northern Virginia morphine drip, nice and sedated and not doing anything for God, Satan stays out of the way. But the minute we push up off that gurney and try to do something for God, those jaws start snapping, that tail starts whipping, things get knocked over in our life. And opposition is going to look a lot like life. It's going to look like forgetting to talk about it when we start our meetings. It'll look like people not returning our phone calls or us forgetting to call somebody. And it'll look like us just being too busy to get out and do something. But push through it. I beg you just to push through it, because it's a way that God will change our hearts and change the hearts of the people around us. Because everybody knows what the little secret of service is that when we serve people, it really does more for us, the servers, than it does for those who are being served.
Amen. That's good. I think it's very important that we always have right in front of us to be showing and saying the good news of Jesus Christ and everything. And so that's just a little bit about how life groups are an avenue through which we can get out into the community. But guys, just remember this, that if we take our eyes off of the community all around us, people that need to meet Jesus Christ, we've really lost our reason for existence as a church. We've got to be outward focused. So what I want to do now, this is our interactive service. This is a chance for you to share some ideas, to ask some questions. And Herb, if you could come up as well now. We'll be up here. And I have some questions for you. But first of all, let me hear any questions you all have of any of us up here on using serving as a way of reaching out. Any ideas you have for it?
Does anybody have any widows or single moms on their block? There you go.
Okay.
Do you know them? Do you interact with them? Wonderful. Okay. Apparently, we have answered every single question.
Okay.
It's perfectly clear, and we can just all leave.
We're expecting these doors blown out next week, right?
Apparently, yeah.
Any other thoughts, comments, questions, ideas you want to float around? I mean, you've got, what, 80 people or so who can give you some guidance.
I have a quick idea.
Yeah.
During the fall, you do the booing, where you leave bags in front of the door and ring the doorbell and run away.
Yeah.
My kids love that, and we've enjoyed that. And we've done like a spin on that, where you do it any time of year for someone who really just needs a little extra hug.
That's a great idea. Great. Let me repeat that so everyone hears it well. In many of our neighborhoods around Halloween time, you've got the you've been booed thing. You know, people will take a bag of candy or a sign and put it on your door. But what about doing that other times of the year where if you know someone needs encouragement, maybe you can just boo them with encouragement. Boo and encouragement didn't sound, you know, but you know what we mean. That's a great idea. You've been loved. Yeah, yeah. Great idea. Other ideas? Other thoughts? Yeah, Fatima. Right. Fantastic.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Deb. If someone
is interested in serving, but they're not particularly good with tools, is there a way that they can be part of?
Absolutely. You know, most of the stuff that guys do with their widows and single moms don't involve any skills. You know, they're raking leaves or cleaning gutters or washing windows. And then even if they do have projects that require skills, often there are other men in the on the team that know how to do the project, or they can borrow somebody from another team who knows how to do the project. So you don't really have to have any skills to be on a team. And so that's really important for guys to understand that you can learn a lot about home repair from this ministry, from other guys. And you don't have to, you know, the irony of all of this, you know, there are about 16,000 men doing what you're doing here. And I am all thumbs. I do terrible home repair work, and yet God's used me to start this ministry. It's kind of, I feel like a hypocrite sometimes, you know. But that's the way it is. You know, you don't have to have any kind of skills whatsoever. And by the way, you also, you know, to witness, you don't have to have any witnessing skills. Did you know that? The most powerful witness is your faithful service to whomever God brings into your life who has a need. And by responding to that need faithfully and taking responsibility to meet that need, then you become the most powerful witness that person could ever have. And I want to ask you to look, the most important thing when we talk about witnessing and outreach, is to look around you at the needs of people. Who are the, it doesn't have to be somebody living on your block, it could be somebody at your work, somebody you run into in a restaurant. Who are the people in need around you? And there's a wonderful promise in the Word of God. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that at all times, in every way, you will have all that you need for every good work. That is an amazing promise. So you look around you, find out who are the people around me, the closest people to me, that have significant long-term needs, and then claim God's promise. God, you've said you're going to give me the ability to help meet that need. So I'm going to step toward this person. I'm going to walk into their life. I'm going to commit to them, and if I don't have the resources, I'm going to be an advocate for them. I'm going to talk to other people. I'm going to find other people to help me, and I'm going to find the resources for this person to meet this need. You will do it for somebody on your block. You do it for somebody at work, somebody here at church, or whatever the case may be. God has given you the ability to meet that need, and he's asking you to trust him to do that. And in the process of meeting that need, you become a bullhorn for the gospel. And people just open up and respond to the gospel as a result of you meeting that need. So those of you who do have widows or single moms on your block, maybe you know them, maybe you're aware of the need, but I want to ask you to pray about what it really means to meet their need, to actually meet their need and provide for them and help them and respond to them and to be an advocate for them and bring other people into their lives. Okay, so I'm preaching now. So
no, well said.
Hey, the gospel is, you know, doing something for somebody and asking for nothing in return.
Right.
That's what Christ did for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, Linda.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
It's a great point. Just introduce yourself to someone and give them contact information for you. In this day and age, people don't do that. So that's a great point. Now, it looks like it's about time for us to wrap up. But as we're wrapping up, I'd like for you all to just let's prepare our hearts for prayer. I'd like for you to think of those in your world that you can show the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe think, we'll give you a minute before we pray. Worship team, you can come and get in place. But why don't you think about some people that God has put in your life? Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood. Maybe it's someone in your workplace. Maybe it's a family member. Someone that it may not start with you going and giving them a gospel presentation, but it might start with you offering to serve them and show the love of Jesus Christ. Take a minute to think about that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have done for us what you call us to do for the world. Lord, we thank you that you have stepped into time and into history through Jesus Christ. Thank you that you've done everything that needed to be done so that we could be made right with you. And Lord, you call us to be your ambassadors, your emissaries. And I pray that you would put people in our hearts and our minds now that we could just start off with simply. But Lord, as an act of worship to you, we would commit to be faithful to serving these people and ready to testify of you when given the opportunity. Lord, we pray that as a result of some of the things we've talked about today, that in the not too distant future, there would be people we would have the joy welcoming into your family when they take a step of faith and trust Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we ask that you would use us to reach this community around us. Help us not to be distracted by all the stuff around us, but help us to see people as you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead and please stay seated and keep your thoughts on.